priesthood. That's what we are talking about with the manger story, what I've come to call the manger experience. And we saw its precursor in the story of Moses, drawn from the waters. To be drawn out of the water is an experience in consciousness. To allow the feeling nature of ourselves to spot a new idea and nurture it. Nurture it from the ether into a full level of manifestation. That's what's going on here. And this is the concept that is being expressed in the story of the birth of Moses. And it is also the story that's being expressed and the concept that's being expressed in the birth of Christ consciousness. When new ideas come upon us, they're not coming out of nowhere. God's ideas are always upon us, multiplying infinitely. And it is up to us to spot them, to be like Pharaoh's daughter, to recognize that these ideas are of God and are to be nurtured and to come into fruition in due time, in their right season. But we must nurture them. We must draw them from the water, from the infinite sea of ideas. And then the miracle happens, and we see a new view of ourselves, a new view of ourselves able to demonstrate dominion over conditions in which we find ourselves. Of course, we know in retrospect now that Moses then becomes the leader of the nation of the tribe of Israel. But we didn't know that at the time that it was happening, nor did he, nor did Pharaoh's daughter. Now, this for us means that our spiritual consciousness, when properly nurtured, will lead us on to new and improved ways of life, even though right here as we sit on this rainy Sunday morning, it does not seem so. Now, it does not happen in the normal, usual realm. You can't protract it from point A to point B logically. It comes from a time that appears out of seemingly nowhere, when we recognize or perhaps feel that we're just not part of the human scene that's going on. Rather, we are unified spiritually. That's our home. That's what's calling us. It's no wonder sometimes we feel like we're not exactly a part of things that are going on, and that's okay. Embrace that. In the manger, that's where we separate from the normal human realm of things. And we see this in Jesus, and we know that we are trying to demonstrate the Christ consciousness within us as he demonstrated it and showed us how it is. We must be shown something about its very nature. Its very nature is not to be present in the material realm. That's why there's this emphasis on the manger in the birth narrative from Luke. Now, the manger is the place where the animals were kept. It is not the usual abode for guests in an inn or even for the servants. Inside, of course, you see the cheeriness of the guests making merry for the evening. They've got a room at the inn. They've got a dinner set forth for them at the table. But in human consciousness, and in human consciousness, we're like the innkeeper. We don't make any room for the spiritual side of ourselves. There is no room in our human consciousness for the Christ child. No room for Christ consciousness. We're not ready to receive that while we are eating and drinking and making ourselves merry. We have no room for that while we are earning a living or keeping up with our material standard of living, competing with our neighbors, keeping up with the Joneses, or even trying to exceed them in stature. I myself am guilty of the same thing. I find myself constantly competing with my law partners over how much money we're going to share at the end of the year. And I was encouraged in preparing this lesson this week while I was on the outside of that experience to recognize and embrace, wait a minute, this is the major experience playing out for you in living color, even though it doesn't feel very good. And this is, of course, why we don't see Jesus in the hotel parties. He's not in the hotel conference rooms. He's not at the bar. He's not a guest speaker. He's not a master of ceremonies. Now, in the jail cell, well, he's there. At the hospital, yes, there you will find him. Hospice, most definitely. But while we are in the swing of things, well, not so much. There is simply no room for him at the inn. Unless we stop and think and consciously make room, or unless we get the grace of the good fortune of being shown that we are not welcome at the party. Well, then marvelous miracles happen. And this is what I came to call this week the manger experience. It happens. Sometimes it's forced on us. When we lift our consciousness outside of ourselves, outside of the normal hurly-burly of day-to-day living, outside of the usual thinking of what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal we shall be clothed. It happens when a new idea is drawn from the water. Like Pharaoh's daughter drawing Moses from the river. We know from Genesis that the waters, that's where all infinitude reside. We know that our feeling nature is in line with the movement on the waters. That movement on the waters brings forth light, the consciousness of let there be, and so it is. But it does not happen unless we are outside of the realm of human consciousness, outside of the self, selfish, self-centered way of being, and forget about actually feeling excluded from the run-of-the-mill day-to-day activity. And that's not usually an easy thing for us to do or to accept, but we must feel that sense of nothingness accompanying the human realm of things so that we can have the manger experience. Look, things didn't look very good for Moses in the ark in the river. Didn't look very good for Jesus born out in the manger with the animals. But look, it brings us to a point. It brings us to a point of spiritual unification. We must feel that sense of there being no room for us at the inn. Now, the Trappist monk and spiritual scholar Thomas Merton, who advocated for social justice in his later years, well, you know, today, December 10th, is the anniversary of his death in Bangkok in 1968. So I thought it would be fitting if we would visit his manger experience. He was already at the time a Trappist monk, and he's running around Louisville, Kentucky, trying to get supplies for the monastery. I mean, you think of a monastery as a place of solitude and silence, but no, it's activity going on. I mean, they're working in the fields, they're working in the kitchens. It's a lot of work. And here's how he describes his manger experience in Louisville at the corner of 4th and Walnut. There's even a monument there now. In the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people and that they were mine and I was theirs. That we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world, the world of renunciation and supposed holiness. This sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief, such a joy, that I almost laughed out loud. I had the immense joy of being man, a member of a race in which God himself became incarnate. as if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me, now I realized what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There's no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. In Merton's manger experience, he recognizes God in the suffering, God himself becoming incarnate. We in divine science realize that God is with us through all of our daily troubles, whether they are deadly or whether they are minor, he's there in our suffering. God himself becomes incarnate, and although we may feel separate and outside of the human realm, not only are we not separate, but we have a way to connect through love. But it only happens if you can have the manger experience where you separate from the day-to-day. Is when we can capture that feeling that we at first feel down, lowly, in the manger, only where the animals are. And then something wonderful happens, a miracle, really. Then we feel uplifted by God consciousness, that spark within us that is moved upon the waters, waters of our consciousness, and a new thought occurs to us. And it brings about a whole new way of life. We are receptive to it. That is the major experience happening outside of the human realm. Now, I'm familiar with and can tell you a story that happened because somebody felt excluded from a hotel inn, and it was some 2,000 years after the birth narrative. Now, Bill Wilson, who founded Alcoholics Anonymous, found himself a few months sober in Akron, Ohio, on the cusp of a business deal, just having fallen apart. You see, he had gotten sober after a visit from a member of the Oxford groups, and thinking at first, well, this guy Eddie, my former drinking buddy, found religion, and that good for him, more gin for me, is what Bill was thinking. But after Abby had left, Bill began to question, well, if there is a God, show your face. And he did. And he experienced what he called the God of the preachers. And things were never the same for him from that point forward. He could no longer drink the way he used to. He determined to sober up, attend meetings of the Oxford group, and he became restored. He doesn't quite have his manger experience yet, though. A short while later, somebody says to him, why don't you get back to work and support your wife, Lois? What a concept. He's receptive to a new idea. So he goes back into the world, and he did so. And he was a stockbroker, of course, and he finds himself part of a hostile takeover deal in Akron. And as luck would have it, the deal falls through, and there he was, left, stranded in the Mayflower Hotel. And he felt bad. He felt excluded. Separated. He felt there was no room for him at the inn. Separated from the supposed joys of material living, he was having what I'm calling a manger experience. And he wanders into the hotel bar. There's where you want to put an alcoholic. And he saw that there was a festivity happening there. And suddenly he came upon that thought that there was no room for him in that hotel bar. There was no room for him at the inn. Humanly, he was welcome, but he knew if he went in, he would start on the roller coaster ride of alcoholism just one more time. And he was able at that moment in time, to specifically hold himself out from the rest, to give himself a manger experience, to hold himself out as separate and apart from the rabble, from the crowd, from the merrymakers. And although he felt bad about himself at that time, he even felt bad about his newly won sobriety, and he began to think, why, I'm even a failure at that. I did not help anyone get sober. What's the use? But then the Christ appeared. The Christ appeared internally in his consciousness. The Christ appeared in the voice of his wife, who reminded him, in her voice, that he had in fact helped himself to stay sober by sharing his experience, strength, and hope with other alcoholics. Not to help the alcoholics, but to help himself. That precise instant, he had his very own major experience, and somehow through the miracles of the telephone and church directories, he found a prospect known as Dr. Bob Smith, and together those two men made history in a program with 12-step recovery, in the modern day world, the likes of which has not yet even been seen. I mean, you can have a 12-step program for any problem you may have in your life. Why? It's there to formulaically induce a spiritual experience. The whole world, you can conquer almost any difficulty in life by getting that spiritual experience, and it was born from Bill Wilson's major experience. It's nothing short of a miracle. The miracle was not that people were getting sober. That was the material or natural effect of it. The miracle was the major experience had been had. The Christ had appeared. Once Bill took himself outside the realm of normal human interaction, Christ had a chance to do its work and raise up the consciousness of Bill, Dr. Bob, and all the many thousands of people who obtained a level of both physical and emotional sobriety in the many, many years to come and continue through to this day. Joel Goldsmith had a similar major experience. Suffering from a nasty cold, he found himself knocking on the door of a Christian Science practitioner in the 1920s. After spending some time with the practitioner and covering all aspects of truth, the truth of being, Joel found himself healed of the symptoms of the cold. But you know, there's a problem when God comes in. He doesn't just take care of one thing, he took care of everything. Suddenly he could no longer drink, could no longer smoke, could no longer gamble. His business interests no longer appealed to him. They began to suffer. And he found that most of the calls to his office were not placing orders for the materials he was selling, but for people asking him to pray. Joel, the businessman, had died. Joel, the healer practitioner, was born. Where? In the manger, outside the normal human realm. In Joel's Christmas letter of 1959, he writes about the Christ experience and the manger experience. He quotes Luke, "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son," or idea, "of God." Joel writes that that experience comes to every dedicated spiritual practitioner, that is, you and me. When we are meditating, the Holy Ghost comes. It comes upon us, and in the split second of conception, the Christ is revealed. The experience does not remove our ills or give us good health. Rather, according to Joel, it removes our humanhood and restores us to our spiritual identity. The Christ is conceived and born in you. But it can only be born with the death of your humanhood, meaning thereby you need to have the major experience. Joel continues on, "At the moment of conception and the birth of the Christ in you, you pass from being a human being to living in the soul. When you make that transition in consciousness, you do not lose your body. Even when you leave this plane, you carry your body with you. However, it continually appears to improve in accord with your improved concept of the body. You're never without a body, just as you are never without a mind. But now both body and mind become instruments of the soul. This is the conception of the Christ in your consciousness. This is your manger experience." Note that the manger is still part of the hotel complex, by the way. Manger is simply a different room, different area outside of the fray. So don't look too far for that manger. It's right here where we are, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Why? Because it is not a real room. It is part of your consciousness, a part of you that can be reached when you separate yourself from your human experience and look within. That is where Christ consciousness will arise in you. That is where it will be born. Take yourself out of the human struggles, outside of the human difficulties, and especially, and unfortunately especially, outside of human joy and birth. And there you will find in the silence, the Christ will appear, and your life will be restored, and you will be happy and usefully whole. We should take a few moments now to make this lesson practical. Let's close our eyes and take in one or two cleansing breaths. And just relax. You can visualize and imagine yourself at a party, Christmas party, perhaps. You are there, and people are all around you. They're nattering on about their daily lives. Perhaps they are comparing how much money they have. Perhaps they're going on about how much they're going to get more of that in 2024. You feel outside. Capture that feeling. Capture that feeling of being outside. That is your inner Christ consciousness waiting for you, waiting for you to step outside, to go within, realize who you truly are. You are not a human being. You are the very living embodiment of God, of the Christ, the Son, in whom he is well pleased. From the Wexford Carol, "Within a manger he was laid. And by his side, the Virgin maid, attending on the Lord of life, who came on earth to end all strife. Good people all, this Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind what our good God for us has done in sending us his beloved Son. His beloved ideas are within you now. You are in the manger. Relax. Enjoy the kingdom that is upon you. You are Moses, floating in the river. You are the Christ in the stable. You are at the very ground of your being. Take heart, rejoice. The kingdom is at hand. The kings will appear and praise your birth. Your daily troubles will subside, and you will be at peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God.
peace, and look for and cherish that manger experience, and have a blessed week. Thank you.